There you go. We play musical chairs. Psalms 119. Glad you're here. Great blessing, great confirmation. Pretty amazing. You knew what we're supposed to do, and God says, okay, well, I'll open up the spigot. If you're here, we are real glad that you're here. It's a blessing to have you in our service with us today. And Brother Sam's already mentioned to you, you got several guys. It won't just be me down there. A lot of folks taking off from work to be at camp all week long with the kids. And you pray for them. They'll be preaching also. And pray that God will get something done with our young people. I would ask you this. When our young people come back, if the Lord deals with them there, encourage them when they get back. And keep them going as long as you can. I remember one time being at a place and the kids came back all excited. And all this one old man could say was, well, it'll wear off. And I thought, well, I guess it wore off of you a long time ago, you old goat. But I realize it, you know, it wears off. I get that. I understand that. But why not keep it going long as you can? It wears off all of us. The problem is you'll find in the passage here, it don't bother us like it used to when it wears off. You ever realize that you get out of fellowship with the Lord? Used to, it bother you that you were out of fellowship with the Lord. And it grieved your heart because God wasn't dealing with you like He used to deal with you. But then you get accustomed to it, so to speak. You kind of like, well, it's just how it is. It don't have to be like that. Psalms 119, we'll start, if you will, in 145. The word is kaf. It means 100. And it also, or the number 100, but it also means the hole in an axe head. The hole in an axe head, where the handle goes. I'll explain that to you in just a minute. The Bible says in verse 1, I cried with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried. I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness. O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them until the correctors can change them. The words are forever in your King James Bible, and they mean forever. Amen. Father, we'd ask now your blessings upon this service. We'd ask your blessings upon the preaching of your word. We thank you, God, first of all, for answered prayer. Amen. We thank you, God, for what you're doing in this place. And we'd ask, God, that you might now bless us with your presence here. And we'd ask now for God now for power to be able to preach your word. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Brother Dunleavy, it's good to have you from way up north. Amen. Been watching us, you said, for what, 7 years?
Listening online
for 7 years. So it's a blessing to have you in our service and to finally get a chance to meet you. I've gotten a few emails and stuff from him, and it's a blessing to finally meet you, get the privilege of meeting you. Psalms 119, we're studying or continuing to study what the Bible has to say about certain things. And I'd like to say this, notice the situation or the circumstances, the condition of the psalmist as he writes. Notice in verse number 1 or 45, he's crying out with his whole heart. He's not divided. He's really serious. Verse number 146, he's crying again. Verse number 147, he's crying again. You would say he's having sort of a tearful time. Here he's crying in the sense of not with just tears flowing down his face, but crying out as if he needs some help. There's something that's missing that he wants to get plugged back into. There's a help that he needs, and he's willing to ask for that help. Too often in the day and time in which we live, when we ask people how they are, they're fine. And the fact is, they need some help. There's people that are all around this community and people that you know and people that are in your family that need help, but they won't ask for help. And sometimes we don't get the help we need from God because we won't ask God, help me. Amen. And the help. First way that you get saved is to say, help me, I don't want to go to hell. Amen. And by the way, we do still preach about hell here because we believe it's a literal place. And if you're saved, that's what you were saved from. It's spending an eternity in a place called hell burning forever. So here's what happens. This psalmist right here says, I need some help with something. I've misplaced. I've lost something that I had at one time. When I got to looking at the meaning of the word, because it's all part of your Bible, come if you will to 2 Kings chapter number 6. The word means the hole in the head of an axe, meaning that the axe head, the handle hasn't been attached to the axe head. Let me ask you a question, ladies and gentlemen. If I had an axe up here and all I had was the head, other than using it as a paperweight or I guess maybe a baby boat anchor or something, or maybe to throw at somebody, what benefit would the axe head be without the handle? Isn't it interesting that in that passage right there, you have the psalmist crying out for help because he's got an axe head, but he hasn't got a handle. In other words, he's not able to accomplish what it is he wants to accomplish. He needs some help to do something, but he needs supernatural intervention. And sometimes we miss out on the fact that the handle in our axe head is the prayer that connects us to the Heavenly Father. Good. And sometimes our prayer life suffers. Sometimes our prayer life is not what it ought to be. We don't seek the Lord with our whole heart. We don't cry out after Him. We don't thirst, as David says, as a deer, as a hart panteth after the water, but so my heart panteth after Thee. The desire that we had at one time to be able to search out after God and to try to find God, that thirsting that we once had, sometimes is gone. So in a sense, we got an axe head with a hole in it and no handle. And I want you to look at this passage, and I know many of you are very familiar with it, but I would like for you to take a look at it. The sons of the prophets in verse number 1 of chapter 6 said to Elisha, "Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us." 2 Kings 6, we done run out of room. We're in a jam. There's too many of us and not enough space. "Let us go, we pray, unto the Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell." And he answered, "Go ye." Now I want you to notice here, there's a need that's there, but there's also a desire to fulfill that need and a willingness not just to talk about it, but to do something with it. They had a vision for where it is that they wanted to go and what needed to be done. They already had in their mind, we need a bigger place here. And that's not the whole story, but it's interesting that we happen to be in Psalms 119, and we're starting with that particular psalm that deals with an axe head without a handle. And you can't help but make the correlation to this axe head that has come off of the handle. And all the guy's got now is a handle and he ain't got nothing to do business with. Because that axe head that he's going to lose in this passage right here was something that was given to him, something that was borrowed him, something that he couldn't purchase, something that he couldn't buy, something that he couldn't afford. It's something that someone had to have provided for him. I might say this, it would be like the Holy Spirit in your life, and it would be like the burden that the Holy Spirit places upon you for the things of God.
Amen.
Now listen, I want to make sure as we go through this passage that you understand that we believe the Bible teaches clearly that once you're saved, you can't be lost.
Amen.
We believe that you can lose your fellowship with Jesus Christ, but you can never lose your sonship with Jesus Christ. We believe very firmly that proof of your salvation is not by how you live, it's by what He said. And too often what we do is we put the emphasis on, well, I just believe, especially in the South, I just believe if you was saved, you wouldn't do the following things and you would do the following things, and the list is so variable I couldn't even cover them all. We don't believe that. We believe you're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's before salvation to get it and after salvation to keep it. We believe you're saved thoroughly and completely by the grace of God. We believe that when you're saved, you are endowed with the Holy Spirit of God. You get all the Holy Spirit you're going to get. He seals Himself inside you when you're in there. But we also believe that Holy Spirit can be grieved and can be quenched. We realize that we get all the Holy Spirit we're going to get. The problem is the Holy Spirit doesn't get all of us. because we're not willing to yield ourselves. Let's continue in the passage right here. So they went them, and they went and came to Jordan, and they cut down wood. So they're starting to do the work there. There's work that's involved. Somebody's got to sweat to get something done. Now, I don't want to spend too much time on that, but you've got to understand that in the principle of the Bible, work is associated with not only God's work, but with provision for yourself. He says back in the garden, the part of the curse is, man shall earn a living by the sweat of his brow. It'd be good if you understand that that's part of life. It's part of the curse. You have to apply yourself. Work's no longer just for men. Fellow said, well, a woman ought to be at home and be barefoot and pregnant all the time. Suppose she's not married, and she should be barefoot and pregnant. Suppose she's not married, well, she should be barefoot. Suppose she's not married. Suppose her husband died. Suppose her husband's a jerk and he left. What are you going to do with that? You say, what? She may have to go out and earn a living. So what do you try to do? Encourage her. But you know what you're going to have to do? Work ain't fun. I don't know anybody much, maybe outside of me, that enjoys their job as much as I do. But work ain't always fun to do. It requires effort. It requires some sweat. Yeah. Somebody has to make a sacrifice. Somebody had to be willing to do something. And the Bible says, as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it is borrowed. Let's stop right there for just a second. First of all, I'd like to say this. As soon as that axe head came off, he realized that the weight in that handle had changed. He realized that he's chopping it. Now look, we can hammer the guy and say, well, you know, you borrowed an axe, he gave it to you in bad condition or something, and you know what this guy doesn't do is say, listen, I borrowed it, he should have never given me the axe with a loose head on it. No, what he should have done was, is he should have checked it, first of all, to find out whether or not it was tight. Sometimes what you have to do, if you look at an axe head, when you have that axe head, it's got that little sort of an oval hole there in the top of it. And then what you do, if that axe handle gets loose, you got to take a thing called a wedge, and you take a hammer and you drive that wedge down in there, and that separates that wood. Sometimes you got to put something between you and other people to tighten up that axe head. Sometimes we get a little bit too loose with that axe head, and we get a little bit too familiar, like a hail when he's out there walking along, and then all of a sudden the ox and Uzzah reaches out there and touches that ark. Why? Just got a little too loose, a little too familiar, took for granted a little too much that relationship, that fellowship with God. Hey, he'll never back up on his promise to save you and secure you for eternity, but I'm telling you, if you don't watch it and you get a little too loose, the Holy Spirit will be grieved, he'll be quenched, and you'll have no power in your life, and you won't even recognize, as did Samson. You wist not the Holy Spirit had departed. You say, why? We got all the programs, we got all the pizza, we got all the ping pong, we got all the parties, we got all the stuff. Hey, we can operate without God. You'll be going through the Christian life with no power whatsoever and don't even realize the axe head's gone. And you're swinging the tar out of the handle, and all you're doing is beating the bark off of trees, but you ain't cutting nothing down. Some of us Baptists are bad about that. We get little pet peeves. We get little prejudices. We get little preferences. And what we like to do is we like to swing that handle until we beat somebody bloody. Help me a little bit. Will it go faster? And all we're doing is making a whole bunch of noise, but we ain't getting nothing done. Getting hung up on hobby horses. And what's a hobby horse? It goes back and forth and it makes a whole lot of motion, but it doesn't go anywhere. Get hung up on touch not and taste not and handle not and teach nothing but the way to God is just a list of rules and regulations. Hey, can I just say this to you if I could for just a second? I've been set free from that. I have not been put, as the New King James says, I haven't been made a slave to Christ. I'm a servant. I'm there because I want to be there. I'm not there because I have to be there. I choose to be there. Don't put me back in shackles again. Don't trade my iron shackles of the devil and put me in platinum shackles. Don't trade my iron bars with a padded cell. Don't put me back in burdens again and back in bondage again. I have been set free. My call and verse in Isaiah 61 says I'm to proclaim liberty and set the captives free. That includes from a Baptist religion.
I'm Baptist because I believe it's closest to the Bible, but I'm not in the habit or in the business of trying to burden somebody down. This life is burdensome enough without having a religion placed upon it. You got to do this and you got to do that and you got to go here and you got to do that. I can hear the chains rattling already. I've been in meetings before, big meetings where people are all gathered around and they're there to hear something from God. And boy, the singing's good and the specials are good and everything about the service goes good. And then the guy takes the Bible and as soon as he starts, right off the bat, you can hear him getting out the leg irons. And you can hear him grabbing the chains. Hey, he says, I've got liberty, only use it not as an occasion to the flesh. You walk with the Holy Spirit. You ain't got to worry about somebody telling you should, shouldn't, don't do, all that. You walk with Him. He'll give you the perfect direction. And you'll be free doing it. And you'll enjoy it. Too often nowadays, church is all about ho-hum, how heavy it is, and oh, it's so hard. Really? You got the wrong yoke on you. Because that Bible says His burden is easy. His yoke is light, and His burden is easy. You might get tired sometime, but you don't get so weighted down with trying to live it unless you're doing it in your flesh. Generally, I find this, that yoke is a thing that fits across that oxen. My granddaddy used to teach me some things about that. Of course, he used the donkey. When the donkey died, I replaced the donkey. Really, that's how I learned about farming. I didn't know nothing about growing nothing. I thought all there was to farming was pulling a plow. And getting swatted with a sun hat for stepping on beans, peas, corn, or anything else that got in my clodhopper ways. But what he taught me was, is he said, on the side of those animals, if you start seeing wear marks, and you notice that they're shoving against it, and then they're real tender, and they're real touchy, and they don't want to pull, and they kind of pull sort of lopsided. He said, the reason is because they've been pulling against where the man driving the yoke wants the yoke to go. You know why some of you are so touchy this morning? You know why some of you are in the habit of saying, oh, I don't know about this, and you kind of shirk back and you won't really lean into that plow? You've lost your balance in life. You've lost the ability to lean equally into that plow and to pull equally. You're yanking against it and trying to yank out of that yoke. You're trying to get away, and it's rubbed the raw spot at a bare spot. And every time somebody touches it, oh man, you're going to let them know about it. You haven't in a long time leaned up against that plow and pulled as hard as you can possibly pull. It's been a long time since you were all in. It's been a long time since you went all the way. You say, why? Because you've been pulling against it so long and so hard, you've convinced yourself that your soreness is an indicator that God is putting more on you than you can bear. No, it's because you're a rebel. You're a maverick. You won't be broken. The Lord says, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. I don't know what you're belly aching about. You get the biblical understanding of it, you're pulling in tandem with another ox. And what you think is that you're doing the work the other ox is doing, but the truth of the matter is the other ox is doing all the plowing. He's doing all the pulling. He's just letting you look good. And you're in the yoke with Him. He's in the yoke. That's a two-sided thing. He's in that yoke with you. And if anything's getting done, He's doing it with you and through you. You ain't doing it. But you know what happens? He says, let's go over here. And you go, I don't want to. And then all of a sudden you get tender and you get touchy. In this passage right here, I see the fact that this individual's concerned that he lost the power to be able to get anything done. I like that. I think it ties in with the man over there in Psalms 119 because the Bible says in verse number 5, and he cried, alas, master, for it was borrowed. That's what the psalmist said. He cried. It bothered him. It concerned him. It upset him. I'm just banging the bark off trees. I'm not able to get anything done. I wanted to do something. I wanted to be a part of this building for these prophets, a part of this school. I came out here with good intentions, but all of a sudden, that thing that somebody provided for me was gone. But it bothered him that it was gone. Does it bother you when you can't feel the power of the Holy Spirit like you used to? I got to clarify for just a second. The power of the Holy Spirit is demonstrating and doing and being obedient to what God would have you to do. The power of the Holy Spirit is not demonstrated by Ostola Shantai, Untie a Bowtie, Economy Honda. Yes, you got nervous there. This is a Baptist church.
Yes,
we don't believe in speaking in tongues. We believe in getting a bridle for the one we got.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Our biggest problem is a thing that can control a ship, but we can't control it.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
The power of the Holy Spirit is not manifested in slinging some oil or somebody jumping around and handling a cotton picking snake. I can tell you how you handle a snake with a shotgun. Amen. You say, I'll shoot him with my pistol. Get out of my way. I'm going to get buckshot. You say, well, that's overkill. I intend to overkill. Amen. You do whatever you want to do, Mr. Brave, and all that other kind of stuff. I ain't messing around. He ain't told me to pick up no snake by no tail. He told me, hey, that's the type of the devil. Kill him. You'd say, what do you do? I don't shoot him in the tail. I shoot him in the head. Amen. Say, well, that was a garter snake. It looked like a rattlesnake to me. Amen. Preacher, that was a good snake. There ain't no good snake. Amen. Big ones, little ones, live ones, and dead ones, they're all bad. They're the devil. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to know it concerned him. It bothered him. He said, you know something? I can't continue. Watch it now. Till I get my axe head back. I can't continue to do anything of any value until my fellowship with the Holy Spirit is back where it's supposed to be. I can't continue to do anything until the burden that I once had to do something for God has been put back where it belongs.
Amen.
All I'm doing in the meantime is just wasting time.
Amen.
Just swinging at the air and not doing anything whatsoever. I'm going to try to help you today to point out something that I'll show you that the absence of the Holy Spirit in your life will manifest itself, and you'll find out that when you get in this condition, you become susceptible to other voices. When you get in this condition, you start looking for a new cart. When you get in this condition, you start looking for strange fire. When you get in this condition, you start trying to manipulate and try to force and trying to make God do something. God don't work like that. God works after you're saved with you staying in fellowship with Him. And if you stay in fellowship with Him, you can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth you. And if you don't, you're out of fellowship and you're on your own. My question would be this to you. You know what can happen to you when you start listening to those other voices? You start thinking it's all about you. One of the greatest ways to know that the Holy Spirit has deserted you in the sense of not lost your salvation, not gone out of your body, but He's quenched or He's quelled or He's sequestered, He's pressed down, those things, He's mashed down and that kind of a thing. One of the greatest ways to know that He's grieved is that you're always focusing on what everybody else is doing or not doing. That's number one. Number two, you become the center of attention. It becomes all about you. And then you start convincing everybody else that it should be all about them instead of about Him. See, because when the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit is always bragging about. How do you know when the Holy Spirit is quenched? When you're not talking about Him anymore. When you're talking about you and what's in it for you and how good it'll be for you, and let's make sure that you are on the throne. Hey, whenever there's a you on the throne, He ain't there. Number one, it concerned him. Number two, he made a confession. He said in verse number five, the axe head fell in the water and he cried and said, alas, master, for it's barred. He said, I lost it. What? What a unique thing. He admitted it was his fault. I lost it. Listen, you can't lose your salvation. Do you understand that, right?
Amen.
It'll go a lot faster. You understand that, right?
Yes, amen.
Now watch. But you know what he said? I got to confess. I'm the one swinging it. I'm taking. How's that go?
I'll take full responsibility for my actions.
And they never do. It's like, you got to get out in front of this thing. You got to go ahead and admit that you were wrong. And that'll get the... What are you doing that for unless you mean business?
Right.
He had to admit he was... You know the hardest thing for Christians to do nowadays is? Confess they were wrong. He knew something was missing, and then you know what else he said? He said, hey, not only is something missing, but it's my fault it's gone. I hadn't been paying attention to it like I should have. I hadn't been watching my relationship, my fellowship with the Lord. I've been so busy working, doing, going, being, that I didn't even realize.
Yeah.
I'd just been swinging an empty axe handle. I like the fact that he made the confession. I also like the fact that he said that he cared. It bothered him. How do you know? He started crying. He realized what happened. He says, you know what? These other guys are cutting these beams down. These other guys are doing their job. I made a promise to do it, and I can't do nothing because I ain't got the tools to do it. It bothered him. It concerned him. He cared about it. He comprehended how serious it was. He says, you know something? It ain't mine. When Jesus Christ gave you the Holy Spirit and then gave you the ability to serve Him, you know what? He gave you something you can't manufacture yourself, though many people try.
Right.
A lot of churches nowadays are turned into this sort of a machine, kind of like a business, and they can operate without the Lord. The Lord gave you the Holy Spirit to empower you to be able to do the things that you need to do.
Amen.
And so what he had to do was realize, you know something? It bothers me because he gave me something I can't get myself, but I sure do want it back. That's the vortex. That's the center. That's the real part of having a revival again in your life. Hey, you know what? I'm not where I used to be. I'm not on fire like I used to be. The songs don't touch my heart like they used to touch my heart. Indicator. I don't shout or I don't weep or I don't have the joy that I used to have. Preaching doesn't convict me anymore. All it does is make me mad. People bother me now. Amen.
Yeah.
Looks like you better get used to it. Amen. I mean, I'm thinking what we'll do is we build another place, turn this whole thing into a nursery. Amen. Put the little ones up there and the big ones down here. Say, preacher, that's a little over our heads. Well, okay. Guess you got to walk in the Spirit to see that. But
amen.
Might be an indicator. Maybe. I don't know. I might be stretching it. But notice, he's crying out. Notice his condition. Notice he understands how serious it is. Do you realize that after you're saved, that God has a purpose for your life?
Amen.
Don't worry, I ain't going into a purpose-driven life. Don't worry, I'm not going into be a better you. Best way you can be a better you is to get in relationship with Him. He'll make you what you ought to be. You can't make yourself. You're an animated mud ball. I'm sorry, Sunday morning. You're an animated mud ball. Ladies and gentlemen, what you got to realize is after salvation, God said for you, nobody's happenstance, nobody's a mistake. God's got something that He wants for you to do. So you better stay hooked up with Him. You better stay in fellowship with Him and find out, God, what do you want me to do? If you don't, you'll try to manufacture it yourself to give your life meaning or purpose. Oh, look at this meaning I have. Oh, look at this purpose I have. Oh, look how wonderful I am. When Jesus is in you, you're always saying, look at Him, look at Him, look at Him. Don't look at me because I know where I came from. And I know what looks at me in the mirror every day. So better to keep your eyes on Him. It bothered Him. It concerned Him. But he realized as he began to contemplate this, this is serious. Because the law says that when I borrow something, I have a responsibility to return it in better condition than it was when I got it. That's gone away. Nowadays, we don't do much of that. We used to, if you borrowed something, if you broke it, you fix it. Now it's like, well, it broke while I had it. I don't know. It ain't mine. Used to, when you borrowed something, if it was broke, there'd be a brand new one to replace it. That's changed. But what God did was, is He gave to you the power of the Holy Spirit. And He says, now, what are you going to do with that? Do you have a burden for souls anymore? No, but I want to make people energized. I want to make them excited. I want to make them think positively. Okay, good. Well, I'll be over here in the corner because you can do all that on your own.
Did you want to help them in eternity?
Yeah.
That's something only the eternal spirit can give you.
Amen.
Not only is there a comprehension, but notice also, he says to him in verse number 6, this is hard. The man of God said, where fell it? Where'd it get off the track? Where'd you lose it? Not your salvation. Where'd you stray off into all this cotton-picking foolishness? Where'd you pick up the purpose-driven and the be the better? Where did you leave me out of the picture? Much as you trying to put me in the picture. Where did you start thinking that liberty that you had was as an occasion to the flesh? Where is it that you got off? You got to come back.
Amen.
The way forward is back first.
Amen.
And sometimes some of us have been going down the wrong path for a long period of time. And you say, well, Lord, I'll just make me a 90-degree turn and come back. The Lord has said, oh, no, that ain't how I work. You're going to go back to Bethel, Jacob. You're going to go back to where we started, son. Back to where I meant something to you. Back to where I spoke to you and the angels ascending and descending. Back where a rock was pillar enough for you. Back where when I spoke to you, you made promises and I delivered you and I helped you. But Jake, it's been a long time since you've been back. You've been running wide open on your own long enough. You got to come back. Not back to get saved. Back to where you decided to do what you wanted to do.
Amen.
Merchandising God. Using God to get whatever you want. Hiding behind the veil of Christianity or salvation to make it look like you're something that you're not. To obtain something that you want. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Hiding, looking, yo, I'm a Christian businessman. Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yeah.
I found out this. If you got to tell them, you probably ain't.
Amen.
They'll know before long. Come to sit down at a table and order a little bit of wine with dinner, you know? Yeah, here we are at Baptist Church. Did you feel that right there? Marissa, do you feel it just kind of like a... It's like, oh, man, he was like, what? Why did he go there? Because it ain't right. Well, you know, you take all that, that's legalistic. You're an idiot. Well, with charity. You don't have any sense. You are uninformed if you really believe that's Christianity. But nowadays it's like, well, I don't mind sucking a little suds with him if it'll get me the business deal. You'll knock the tar out of somebody smoking a cigarette or listening to rock and roll music or country western. But, you know, every now and then, preacher, you know, you just kind of wine them and dine them. You mean you got to hook them up? You mean you got to play their game in order to get their business? Then you're going to always be playing a game to keep their business because you're a crook. You're shamming somebody. You're cheating somebody. You're acting like something that ain't right. And you got to keep up the charade. You're a chameleon, since I'm using C's. You change according to whatever's around you. You're around Christians? Woo! Bible believer. You're around the world? Woo! Yeah, them Christians, they carry it a little too far. I mean, they go to youth camp and they care about what we wear. Yes, we do. And don't try me. Sam's nice. I'll cut your head off. Amen. Guys, too. You come in like looking like no dog. I know it's camp. Well, let's back off. No. You back off. Public school back off. Christian school back off. Homeschool back off. We ain't backing off. Somebody's got to tell them no about something. You don't get to just do what you want. Can't you just wait for this?
Come on.
And you ain't swimming together either.
Amen.
My Lord, are you kidding me? No, are you kidding me? Do you think a teenager is watching a teenage boy is watching a teenage girl and he's got Jesus on his mind in a bathing suit? Are you smoking crack? You're
ready for the insane asylum. You've lost your mind. And don't you tell me that girl don't know what she's doing. Rebellious little hussy, put on some britches. Amen. Your mom and daddy won't tell you. Your daddy's thinking it. Well, honey, I sure wish you wouldn't dress like that. And the Lord says, well, what's the matter? You didn't mind when so-and-so was like, and you don't mind seeing that here, and you don't mind watching that here. A little different when they say, well. Hypocrite! You say, why do you do that? It's a concentration camp, amen. It's another seat. You know what he said? He said, where'd you lose it, boy? You know what church is supposed to do? If you're already saved, you know what it's supposed to do? Where's the power that was in your life one time? Where's the willingness that was there one time? Where was the wantonness that was there one time? Where was the desire that was there one time? It's to say, hey, where'd you lose it? Where'd it go? A person that's in fellowship with Jesus Christ, you don't have to try to motivate a man. You just got to get out of the way. I mean, I'm not kidding, man. I mean, they're like always looking to get something done. It bothered him. He said, man, I got to go back. There's got to be a coming back to where you lost it. And then you got to do in verse number 6, there has to be a confrontation. And he showed him, the Bible says, the place. We'll get back to 145 in a minute. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. Well, who? Elisha? He didn't give him his axe.
Right.
You say, why? You can't swing my axe.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
I can use my axe to try to help you get your axe.
Mm-hmm.
But my axe is not your axe.
That's right.
You know I can't swing your axe. When it comes to how that thing runs and the internal combustion gasoline engine, that's your axe. And you know how to do it. But in spiritual things, everybody don't swing the same axe. And the biggest problem you get into is when you try to swing somebody else's axe. He cut down a stick, which we're going to get to in just a minute, for him to recover his axe. Because not everybody is the same. I wish that we as Christians would stop trying to make clones. They say, preacher, did you know they're cloning sheep? Yep. Did you know they're cloning pig? They grew an ear on a rat. I've seen that a lot. I see a lot of ears on rats and mouths too. Amen. They're called Baptists. But what makes you unique is God has an axe for you.
That's right. Amen.
They're not the same. What happens when you try to make everybody the same? You set yourself up as the poster child for how everybody ought to be. Everybody ain't the same. I'm glad I ain't my wife. Man, after watching this grandion of mine having this baby the other day, I'm glad I ain't a woman. Have me delivered. Scream, holler, rent, rape. I'll be back after a while. You say, what you think about that? I'm glad I'm not a woman. That's another axe to carry. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
What I'm trying to get across to you is Elisha doesn't give up his axe. He says, listen, I'll do what I can with my axe. I'll cut down, watch it, the opposition, the things that are in the way, the circumstances, the things that are blocking your pathway, a clearing out
good.
Of something that's between you and the axe head.
That's good, brother. That's good.
Where fell it? Well, it was right there. Well, there's a stick in the way. I can't get out there to it. He said it's a muddy river. It's a Jordan. It's iron. It don't swim, preacher. He don't say none of that. Where fell it? Right there. Something's in the way. Look at the pressure on him here. There's got to be a clearing of that out of the way. You say, why? Well, I guess I might say this. There has to be a clearing of the obstructions. Somehow or another, you're going to always come back to the cross.
Good.
Amen.
Amen.
See, I think you're a smart aleck. I'm not trying to be smart. I'm saying you're going to always wind up back at the foot of the cross. You say what? That's the stick that stands between you and having fellowship with Him. If you're lost until you come by the way of Calvary, I don't care how nice you are, how clean you are, how wonderful you are. Grandma and Grandpa comes to church all the time. Papa was a preacher. And my uncle goes to church all the time. Man, I can untie a bow tie with the best of them. I got the gift of the Holy Ghost and baptism. If you ain't been to Calvary, you're lost and you're going to hell.
Right. Amen.
And until that obstruction that's between you and it's out of the way, it ain't going to work. But for you as a Christian, until you get Him off the cross and put yourself on there, you ain't going to ever get your power back.
That's right.
You know what's going to happen? Eventually, you're going to get wore out. You can't just come to church under your own power. Although in the old days, that's what people did. I told you before, I was preaching a meeting in Alabama, and the guy came every night. 7 nights, man. Sunday to Sunday, like old time. 7 nights, including meetings in the daytime. This old fella came every day. He was an old farmer. He came every day. He'd come in the morning, he'd go farm, he'd come back at night. Sometimes he was still wearing the stuff he wore when he was out in the field. And he'd come by the back door the last night. He'd make me stand back there and say hey to everybody. And they walk out in the big old field out yonder. And hello, how are you? How are you? And so on and so forth. And I said, boy, I've noticed you've been here every night. You sure do appreciate it. It's what we do around here. I said, excuse me? He says, it's what we do around here. What do you mean it's what we do around here? Well, we go to church, you know, when there's a revival meeting. Well, you can go all the way on, but I mean all the way the entire time and never miss a complete service. But until you realize you're in need of revival, you ain't going to do you no good at all.
Amen.
Sometimes people go for reputation's sake. Amen.
Amen.
You don't get the Holy Spirit that way.
That's right.
You ever get dead and dry and dehydrated and get to the point where, you know what, I'm shot out. You willing to come to Calvary and say, Lord, I'm wrong. There must be something in my life. Can I tell you, if somebody has the power this morning to get between you and Him, between you and that, if there's somebody that bothers you so much, that's an indicator that the problem's you. They might have done you wrong. Granted. And they might deserve whatever mojo it is you're putting on them. That may be true. But can I say this to you? The fact that that bitterness and that anger and that obstruction has the ability to keep you out of fellowship with the Lord indicates there's a problem with you.
That's right.
Amen.
People all over this country that are sitting out of church today because somebody done me wrong. And they never look at what they did wrong to Him. 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible for people like us that come back to that place and the Lord said, where fell it?
Amen.
What sin crept in? What problem crept in? What thing got in the way? What bitterness? What wrath? What anger? What animosity? How about this one? What routine?
That's
turned into a rut. And now you're just rotten. You say, why? You're just accustomed to the same thing. No God in it at all. And you come back and you say, Lord, it's me. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. A young lady told me one time at a youth camp, she said, preacher, I heard what you said about the wages of sin. And I believe you told me 100% the truth. I said, well, good. Praise the Lord. I hope that helped you. She goes, I ain't going to quit doing what I'm doing. I said, well, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you heed the warning? She goes, I don't know. I'm taking my chances. She said, and knowing that I might wind up dead or crippled or pregnant or whatever, but I'm not going to quit doing it. I'm just being honest. I said, well, what do you say? I appreciate your honesty. The difference in her and you is you've already decided you're going to keep doing what you want to do. You're just going to put on a show like you ain't. The problem is you don't understand that grieving that goes there. Don't matter if you fool all of us, you ain't fooling Him. And what it shows is you don't care that your relationship with Him is in the garbage dump this morning.
Amen.
Lord, I'm just saying, I'm going to do what I want to do. The Lord said, so my relationship with you, the power, the ability, the burden, the filling of the Holy Spirit that you once felt, you don't care about that? Well, Lord, I do, but I'm not enough to change. Not enough to quit. He said, where fell it?
He said, right there, behind that tree right there. Elisha takes out that sword, takes out that axe, whatever he's got. He cuts it down. He said, can you see it better now? He said, yeah, preacher, it's right over there is where it fell. He said, right there? He said, yes, sir, right there. He looked down there in that pond. It don't say that he said anything hocus pocus dominocus. Rise. You praying? Rise. All he did was his having pointed out, look, he said, when you cut down a stick, what did he do? He threw the stick in the water. And it was the stick that made the iron come up. For salvation, it's the cross that keeps your soul from going to hell. Iron in the Bible is a type of the devil. But here what happens is when he got that obstruction out of the way, watch, the iron did swim. Floated to the top. Started swimming over there. He said, hey preacher, there it is. Grab it for me. He said, mm-mm. Some things only you can do yourself. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Now he has to be committed enough to bend over to pick it up. To do what? He had to bend over. You know what I know? I know he couldn't get down there in that river unless he was willing to get out on his knees. Probably had to get his head down kind of low. That bank of that river's all muddy and slithery and slimy. And he probably had to get down there real low and get that head way down here and reach down in that thing like that. And that iron's floating right there on the top. And he picks that up and he says, got it back, preacher. I got it back. And Elisha says, now what you going to do with it, son?
Amen.
He said, well, preacher, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to put it back on the handle where it belongs. After I think the one that made it swim.
Amen.
Second thing I'm going to do, I'm going to tighten it down. And make sure it don't come off again. And the third thing I'm going to do is I'm going to check it real regular to make sure it don't get loose anymore. Because I realized that if I'd have been checking it, it wouldn't have got loose and I would have never lost it. I cried unto the Lord. I prevented the morning. I was up before dawn. I was up all night. I was burdened. It bothered me. The psalmist said, it upset me. My enemies are closing in. Lord, what am I going to do? And the Lord says, yeah, this is on down in the passage in Psalms, and I'm almost done. Yeah, your enemies may in fact be closing around you, but in the next verse, I'm right here. I've never left you. I'm right here. You just couldn't see me because you let some things get kind of loose. You can check your relationship. Every now and then, my wife disagrees with me on occasion. I know that's hard to believe, right? Right? I'm not feeling the love. Every now and then, if we don't pay attention to our relationship, I'm the one that sort of takes for granted. This is me. For the little things that she does. Until they ain't done. Then it's like, hey! You forget some? Sometimes it's an indicator
that because I have taken that for granted. And let the relationship get a little loose. Don't run off in your head and act stupid now. Sometimes because I'm not paying attention. The relationship. We're still married. Still coming to church. Still having all our devotion time and stuff. Still reading our Bibles. But that burden's not there. That can't wait to see her. Her can't wait to see me. It's not there. It's kind of like, yeah, whatever. And if you don't pay attention to that relationship before long, the relationship comes apart.
Amen.
Still married. You start taking it for granted. Our church is full of people who've lost the accent. The psalmist had the axe head and he wishes he had a handle. Because he realizes, you know something, I need something to be able to do something with what somebody gave me. I want the handle. That handle's prayer. And it bothered him. And he began to pray about it. And by the end of the thing, he gets an everlasting promises and said, the word of the Lord is there forever. And he's back in fellowship again. Here's the question for you. How's your relationship with the Lord? You committed to reach down enough and get down and humble yourself? We kind of need to reacquaint ourselves with the trails that come to the altar. Kind of reacquaint ourselves with where we lost that relationship. There was a time where people would come to an altar because they realized their fellowship wasn't what it used to be. Oh man, they go back right away. It's like, man, something's getting loose, something's getting loose, something's getting loose. And they go back and tighten it up and tighten it up and tighten it up. If you wait till it's gone, it's sunk down where nobody can see it, and before long, obstruction's getting in your way. You lose the opportune time to get it because the time to get it back is before it falls off. Christian, I'll ask you a question. No matter how wonderful God is and how great God is not impressed with lackadaisical service and commitment.
Amen.
I'm not talking about dollars. I'm not talking about sweat. Although it takes all of that. But none of that stuff replaces fellowship. None of that stuff develops a relationship. You can't buy Him. You can't impress Him with service. Really? He'd be like, Lord, I've been coming to you. He's like, when you see the splendor of where He was and what He left to come down here, you won't try to impress Him with your service anymore. You know what you can do, though? He'll say, listen, I would like to have a relationship with you. You cold and indifferent today? Are things in your mind and in your heart right now, are you thinking to yourself, you know, Lord, I sure would like to be back where I cared about missionaries and I cared about souls and I cared about people and I just was so glad I learned about You and learned about Your Bible and it was exciting to be a Christian. I sure do miss that. You know what He's saying to you this morning? Show me where it fell. Come show me where it fell. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Where fell it? Where'd it go? Where's it at? Preacher, I don't have the relationship I used to. I don't have the excitement I used to. I don't have the joy that sometimes would cause my tears to flow. I don't have the anguish. Preacher, it bothers me that it doesn't bother me anymore. Find you a space, even in the always find. But make an effort. Well, there's no room. There's plenty of room. Find you a spot in the middle of the aisle. In the balcony, you can find a spot right by your pew. This is the most important thing. I cried, Lord, help me. And if you're here today and you're saved, you're lost and not saved, And if you knew right now that you were to die, you don't know where you would go, then you need to call upon the name of the Lord for salvation. Lord, I admit I'm a sinner. I believe you died for me, and I'm confessing you as my Savior. Christian, we need this so badly today. We need to be bothered again that it doesn't bother us.